Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Let's Unpack with Alana. On today's segment, we're going to discuss a man's perspective on love on lockdown. I'm your host, Alana, and my husband, Jordan, decided to join us today.
Hey, guys.
So, as you may have heard, I joined in on my really good friend Andy's podcast, Ginger Ale and Hot Sauce, where we got real spicy about the truth and the lowdown on love on lockdown. And tonight, I wanted to get a man's perspective on all of that, everything we've discussed. So, honey, how do you think we've been throughout this entire lockdown from March? In a nutshell.
Well, it's been a long time now. It's we're going March, April, May, June. Seeing your face a lot. It's been nice. It's been really good to have you home. You know, I think we kind of lost a little bit of that between the kids and school and work and wash, rinse, repeat. Just the cycle we seem to get into every single day. So it's been nice to, you know, have a little extra time and get my things done and you get your things done, and you know, we don't have to fight for each other's attention.
Yeah, so one of the first questions I wanted to ask is how do you feel that a married couple or even newlyweds, how do you feel that they should balance out their life, whether they have kids or not? How do you think they should balance out working from home or not working at all and keeping that spice in their marriage?
That's a good question. That's not a nutshell question at all. That's a very loaded question. Considering we haven't been newlyweds for a decade, I have to go back in the memories there. But newlyweds, everything is fresh, right? So you gotta spend every second of every day with each other as a newlywed or as a new couple. I wouldn't just say newlywed. You lose that along the way because you get comfortable, right, in the situation you're in and with your partner. And now you're stuck in a position where you're faced with that person every day. You can't leave the house. You can't do anything. At least anything outside of your normal essentials. So I think part of it is finding a routine. You know, you don't want to lose the spontaneity, right? You want to keep some things fresh. But if you can get some sort of a routine going, then it allows you and your partner to maintain the essence of their own identity while still making time for each other. And you also have to do that so you're not stepping over on each other's toes and, you know, invading each other's space. Because maybe before all of this, you know, you would have, you know, one person's working, the other person's at home, or both people are working and now they're all together in the same space. So there was that separation, forced separation, because you have to make money. But now there's not so much. And sometimes I can get a little bit aggravating. It's great for the first, you know, couple days, week, maybe two. And then it's like, why are you here? Why are you in my face? Get away from me. You know, you want to go to the bathroom and you can't go to the bathroom because that person follows you. You know, it's like, you know, kids. So having some kind of, you know, kind of routine or schedule kind of allows you to go separate and go, okay, this is my time, because we have apparently right now all the time in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And that that kind of coincides with what I was talking about with Andy, with the fact that we're always in each other's face, keeping a routine, but not to a T. Always have to keep that spontaneity where we are creatures of habit. However, when you're on a lockdown, that no longer fits into where you can balance out your relationships, especially when you have children. I think that was another thing that we had talked about. How are you balancing being a parent with homeschooling and working from home while maintaining your marriage?
Oh, you mean the gremlins? You know, there's a simple way to that. There's a few simple rules that I follow, okay? You don't feed them after midnight. You don't get them wet, okay? Gremlins, true story. Watch the movie. You'll know how to deal with your kids. it's tough because now you're kind of just balancing your own mental health and the mental health of your partner and the health of your kids, and you know the kids really suffer now because they don't have that exposure outside to get, you know, do things and get their energy out and like they do what they would at school, right? School, they have their routine, they have their studies, but then they have their friends and they have their activities, and then when we get them home, right, they do stuff with us as a family, but then, you know, we're closer being home from work, so it's more of a wind down time. More, it's more like family time. You know, you have dinner, you take a bath, you might do a couple things here or there, and then it's time to get them ready for bed and get them ready for the next day. Now you are juggling, if you're working, you're juggling your job while also schooling, you know, homeschooling the kids. So they're still getting a curriculum. They're still, you know, assignments and things. So now all of a sudden you've become the teacher, and Common Core math can go right the hell out the window. Whoever thought that was a good idea, shame on them. I learned math years ago, and then I have to relearn it to teach somebody else. But you know, it's like it's essentially like having two full-time jobs, and then balancing, of course, you know, just spending time with them that has nothing to do with school, which can get a little bit difficult. So it kind of goes back to being in a routine and being a little lenient, right? Because, you know, your kids come home from school, they have that routine. Now that they're home, you know, you obviously have things that you need to do. So allow yourself and your kids to have that leniency. Yeah, maybe we'll study now for an hour, maybe two, and then you go do your own thing, and then we'll come back to it later. There's no one saying that you have to finish your schoolwork by 3 p.m. Okay, who's to say you're working from home? Let's say you have the benefit of not being stuck in the same spot for all day. So let's say you work a little bit from home. You make sure you do your schoolwork with your kids from 12 to 1, and then, you know, you go play with them, or you go do something that you need to take care of, and they go play on their own. And you would come back at, you know, let's say 3 or 4 o'clock. It's like, okay, we're gonna do about another 2 hours of schoolwork. Find a schedule that fits yours. Maybe you break the routine, the monotony, you know, and see if the kids kind of respond to that. You know, I think being lenient and adapting at this stage of the game is probably one of the most important skill sets that you can have. You know, a lot of times people are so used to the rigidity of everyday life that you take that away from them, and all of a sudden they crumble, and then your kids crumble, and then your marriage crumbles. And, you know, you have to be able to adapt and be a little bit more lenient with your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I've been looking at this entire lockdown period as a never-ending weekend. So, you know, it's a never-ending weekend, but like in a bad way, because we have schoolwork, we have work. My days off are not really days off anymore. It's just another day where I'm just not on the computer for 8 hours. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. Again, you got to get on a schedule. You got to get on some sort of routine, but keep the spontaneity. It's a lot to balance. And how do you think we've been doing with keeping our marriage spicy?
Ooh, spicy. Well,
with all of that, because it's stressful.
I mean, you know, there comes a point where you schedule when you do things, like sex is scheduled and everything is scheduled. You know, because, you know, I gotta be in bed by 10 because I gotta wake up at 5 in the morning because I gotta be at work from 8 to 4, and then the kids are gonna come home. And so, you know, I know if I don't have sex between 9:30 or 11 o'clock at night, it's not happening tonight. So 9:30 comes, and so you get into this pattern of rigidity. The lockdown has, in essence, null and voided all that. So if you can get past being, you know, with that person 24/7, right? Oh my God, 24/7. If you can get past being with that person 24/7, you know, a lot of the different things start to open up. For example, I'm a gamer. I will always be a gamer. I'm a 32-year-old gamer. I don't give a shit. I'm a 32-year-old gamer. I'm fine with that. You leave me alone to do my thing. You work, I work, but I'm going to do my own thing. That's a me time. That's me time, not a me time. Me time. Let me do my own thing. And same thing, you like to watch your, you know, your shows, you like to go, you know, you like to go outside and try to get that garden going, you know, you have you time. And you could do that whenever you want, essentially.
Yeah.
You didn't have that before. It was like, okay, if it was, it wasn't Saturday or Sunday between X and Y time, then, you know, now you have that kind of, I don't want to call it
flexibility.
I don't want to call it a luxury, because I mean, you turn on the news and all kinds of crazy stuff is happening, right? So you almost feel bad at looking at the silver lining, because there was so much bad going on. You know, how can I feel good about this? It's unfortunate, yes, but life doesn't stop, right? Your life's not over because bad stuff is happening, or bad stuff happens to old people, and you know, other people. It's unfortunate, yes, and you know you wish them the best, but you still have your life to lead. You still have your life to live. So with that being said, there's, you know, you just, and I don't want to say remember to be spontaneous, because if you have to remember to be spontaneous, you're not being spontaneous. You know, you're not being spontaneous. It's like, oh, I gotta be spontaneous now. No. I think it's something that comes naturally when you kind of learn to let yourself give in a little bit and be more flexible with the situation you're in.
Yeah, absolutely that. But, you know, there's one more thing. It's keeping the communication 100%. Because, like I mentioned with Andy, your marriage is going to be as strong as your communication. And if there's something bothering me, if you're in my face too much, I have one of two options. I can blow up on you and tell you to fuck away from me. Or I can be like, honey, right now, I'm just kind of feeling like I want to be alone. I'm going to step outside. And you kind of compromise on making that time. You compromise on making that time for yourself, for your marriage, and for your kids. Because we have four kids. Each of them, they crave their own special time with us individually. So it's just about balancing. It's about communication 100%. And I think we've been doing pretty good with the intimacy part, even non-sexual intimacy. I think we've been kind of doing really well in that aspect.
Yeah, that's what happens when you let your wife watch 4 or 5 hours of Breaking Amish, the 90-day fiancé, you know, right up there with the Darcy crowd.
Oh, gosh.
I think that's another episode.
That is another episode altogether. But, yeah, so we've touched on a lot of things. What advice do you have for those out here who are struggling, especially those who are struggling with just being married or not even reaching 5 years?
You gotta learn to lighten up. I can't control what you do. As much as I would like to do it, I can't control what you do, right? Because there's that's your unknown variable. And you're your own person. I can't make you do anything. I can't. you know, the only thing I can do is control myself. So, and I'm going to say this. Obviously, I'm not talking about those horrible relationships where someone's beating the other one, or someone's constantly cheating, or, you know, I'm not talking about that kind of relationship. I'm just talking about maybe the communication's off, and you have your little things here or there that are bothering you, and they, you know, they coalesce into some big problem because you guys aren't talking. But learn to kind of just lighten up. We are in one crazy, ridiculous situation, right? We're all kind of all in this together. And things are just kind of not normal. It might be the new norm, we don't know. But the best thing, just A, would be to lighten up, kind of learn to adapt and roll with the punches. Right, and that's pretty much the biggest thing, because you have to be able to take that and go, okay, I don't like what's happening, and is this a situation where do I really need to be upset about it, or do I kind of just, I'm gonna let it go, I'm gonna go cool off, right? Because a lot of times it's some kind of miscommunication, some misunderstanding. Either she said something or you said something. And Ooh, I lost my train of thought.
But that touches back on the communication aspect. You know, if you can't communicate off the bat, then you write it down. Oh yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, you gotta write it down. You know, you don't have to get it out right then and there when you're angry. If you feel that you're not in the right mindset to discuss something, then you have to separate yourself from the situation.
Yeah, no. If you're mad, if you're really mad, it's better to leave some things left unsaid, walk away, cool off, and then go back into it with a clear head.
Absolutely. Kind of like that timeout.
You can stop yourself from saying something. You can't take it back once it's already been said.
Yeah.
You may not need it, but it may be too late. The damage is already done.
Absolutely. So you come back to it later on when you're feeling level-headed, but don't say anything out of spite, especially because where are you going?
That's true, exactly. You know?
Where are you going to go? You're going to see this person again. Now you just hurt them to their core because you were angry. What's that going to solve? It's not going to solve anything.
You got to be careful too, because some people are like, the only way you leave in this marriage in two ways. Either I die or you go in a body bag.
That's very unfortunate. You're seeing a lot of that nowadays, especially with people losing their jobs and everything, you know? So if you have your health, you have your children, you have each other, you have to hold on to that. You have to look at your spouse as your partner, as your teammate, because at the end of the day, that's what you signed up for. You signed up to be a part of a team, and you're not going to do well if your partner is not doing well. So, you know, and if you're not doing well, you're going to bring the entire team down with you.
No, I'll say this too. I think that never stop dating, I think that's a little bit cliche. It's a nice gesture. It's a nice thought. Yes. And yes, you go out, you know, you go out as a couple. Either, you know, you go out to have a nice dinner. You go out to go to the theater. Excuse me. Water down the wrong pipe. Yes, you go out, you know, you go out to eat, you go to the theater, you know, you do, you know, you go out to the movies, whatever, you have a date night, and that's great. But I think when you have this notion of never stop dating, kind of puts this undue pressure, you know, like, oh, we didn't go out to anywhere. It's not about going out, it's about finding something that you guys can do together. I mean, we have date nights at home.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We had two glasses of wine earlier, sat down, watched some trash, well, I call it trash TV.
You picked up Red Lobster like 2 weeks ago, was it?
That's true.
Yeah. Red Lobster, glass of wine, what?
Crab legs.
Crab legs. Oh my gosh, and we put on a nice movie. Just date, you know? Don't put so much emphasis and pressure on the date part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't have to go out somewhere. You don't have to be like, oh, we gotta go out to, like, no, just find something you guys like to do together, you know?
Yeah.
Where, you know, the kids are in bed, the kids are going, even if you can't, because a lot of people can't find a sitter. I know we can't find a sitter with four kids. Oh god, you know,
I think we've been pretty blessed with the sitter we have now, and I feel almost bad asking her for additional time.
That's true.
But I think one of the biggest parts, aside from communication, well, actually kind of coincides with communication, is falling in love with each other almost every year. I feel like I fall in love with you probably 2 to 3 more times during this quarantine.
Right? How could you not? You know? I mean, look at this. Look at this, right? How could you not?
Well, we change. We, as, you know, as human beings, we are constant. We're constantly changing. So you're not the person, or you're not the man that I fell in love with, and I'm not the woman that you first fell in love with, but we are still falling in love with each other with these new personas that we have grown into.
I agree. I'm kind of a little more mellow now. I have a very laissez-faire, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, kind of attitude now.
But it's a pretty cool thing, you know, to be able to sit here and be like, you know what? Wow, I'm falling in love with you again.
Yeah, you know, you cool peoples, you know, I don't care what they say about you. You know, I like you. You like just the way you are.
So that's another thing. Just keep falling in love with the other person. And this is kind of bullshit where you're thinking, oh my gosh, I see him every day and I'm starting to fall out of love with him. Okay, good. Fall in love with him again. You did it once. You can do it again. You got married. You made a choice. And if you're sitting here and ready to kind of just let it go because you fell out of love with this person once, you need to reconsider and sit down and write down everything that you fell in love with them in the first place. And what are their good qualities that they have now? What qualities do you feel that they've let go of or that they've grown into? Again, it comes into dating each other again. I mean, you still look good, so I don't know.
I'm like the silver fox, baby. Ooh, yes. Look at his gray hair coming in.
But how do you feel your relationship with the children has... do you feel they've strengthened your relationship with them, or that it's kind of weakened your relationship with them?
Oh no, it's gonna be difficult going back to work. You know, sometimes
they've gotten used to us.
Yeah, and they, sometimes they drive you nuts, right? You're like, ah, blah, blah. But then I'm gonna go back to work. It's like you can run and grab one of your kids whenever you want, right?
Yeah.
Like for our kids, like I'll run and grab the baby just because I feel like grabbing the baby. I'll pick him up, I'll bite him, you know. But I can do that. I'll go back to the office and, you know, they're not gonna be there.
You know, miss them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that kind of sucks.
It's gonna be hard for them too. They're gonna go. They're not gonna want to leave. You know, even now, when I drop the kids off, they won't go walk out that door. You know, that's only for a couple hours. When I go back to work, it's gonna be longer.
Yeah, it's gonna be really hard. It's gonna be hard to adjust, especially being away from each other. But I think in the long run, that'll be easier for us more so than them. That's going to suck. Even with our daughter, you know, she's been struggling a little bit being home. She misses her friends. She misses being out of the house. She's falling into a little bit of a depression from being just in the house all the time. So I think reality is going to hit her when she goes back to school and she's not going to have us. I think she's going to start to feel it.
Well, the boys have definitely spent a lot more time together, which is, you know, good too. If you have kids and the kids, plural, you know, multiple.
Yeah.
You know, they might be spending more time to each other. So, you know, one of the benefits of, at least, of this is, you know, you start seeing some families grow stronger bonds. You know, now the boys are together all the time. They're always playing with each other. I don't know how we got three of them, including the baby, to play Roblox. They have the two-year-old playing Roblox.
Yeah.
Followed by the 7-year-old on the Xbox. Followed by the 4-year-old on another Xbox. And they're all playing together on the same game, but they're all spending time together.
Outside of that, I feel it's pretty cool that sometimes the older children will read to the younger children now. Yeah. I think that's pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, they kind of started becoming like the teachers now. Even the middle one. He's teaching the baby, which in turn helps him too, you know.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'd like to thank you for coming on today. If there's anything that we haven't unpacked, you know, just comment. Definitely don't be afraid to reach out to me with any questions that you may have. I can bring them up on my next podcast. Is there anything that you'd like to mention before we kind of close up on this?
No, you know, I think we kind of covered it all. I think you covered it all, so thank you for having me. And if you ever want me back again, just reach out to my secretary. I'm sure we can, you know, work out an arrangement of times, and I can pretty much come on whenever you have your next episode. So I want to thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining me.
She has to live with me, by the way, so don't, you know.
All right, well, thank you for unpacking with us today. And until next time, good night.